give, they can do it. Makes us honor, better, faster, stronger.
Campbell on second down and 5.5. Looks right. Comes back to the left. Going long for Gordon. He's out there and he caught the ball at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
Unbelievable catch, unbelievable throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Takes the snap, Dalton back, looking near side, throws it, picked off, and an open run. It's Joe Hayden, and he's in, touchdown!
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
And a very happy Football Wednesday to you. Vic Carucci with Jim Donovan, who is filling in for Nathan Zagora today. He'll also do so tomorrow. So much to get to in these next couple of hours of CBD. Jim, Hollywood hit Northeast Ohio last night with the Cleveland premiere of Draft Day. I know this was a very tough thing for you emotionally because you had invested a lot of time and energy and effort to get your fame, your 15 minutes or 4 seconds or whatever it might have been in the movie, and they left you on the cutting room floor. I still haven't forgiven Ivan Reitman for that either.
Well, you're right. Vic, first of all, let me get the stars out of my eyes because it was that kind of night in Cleveland, and it really was a fun night. I did not get a chance to go over there. Because of the 7 o'clock news, and by the time I would have got there, I mean, the Browns would have drafted already in draft day. So I missed it, but, I mean, by the looks of everybody that was there, it was really a lot of fun and a lot of excitement when people were going in there and really buying into it and excited to see the Browns portrayed in a movie like that. I mean, I think it was a win-win, and, you know, everybody was there, and it was really a good night.
All right, I'm going to give her a second if she doesn't already have the microphone on in her location.
She not only has the microphone on, but she also has three cameras pointing on her.
Very good. So just as I expected, Megan Rock, who does a tremendous job assisting on the show, was there last night. Megan, share the experience. What was it like over there at Valley View?
Actually, it was a really positive experience. People were really, really excited about the movie and like just thrilled to be there. And I heard nothing but positive feedback about it in general.
You know, you got a chance to, along with other Browns employees, to see a special screening, I want to say back in January, right before the Super Bowl, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
Right around that time, right? And I got to see it in New York that week as well, and then also had a chance to see it out in Hollywood for the media event to get interviews that we've since posted on the site with cast and so forth. So we've seen it a couple of times. You know, it's a good movie, Megan, and not just because you get your cameo toward the end there in it as well. I mean, but you know, as I look at it, good solid, right? Is that a fair assessment?
Oh, I think it's a solid B plus.
Yeah, that's the grade I was giving it as well. As sports movies go, it really gives you a decent sense, knowing the NFL and the draft as I do, that there was definite attention paid to detail to give you a real true sense of draft thinking. Now, there's a lot of dramatic stuff, dramatic license that goes on in the course of the day to make it more interesting, and you get that part. But
is there love in it?
There's a little bit of love in it, too. There's a definite love interest. What did you think of that part, Megan? Did that matter to you?
And I'm uncomfortable.
Because that was done. That was gratuitous for the female audience. It really was, I believe.
Such a large focus on the love story. I mean, it was there, but it wasn't like.
Right. It's in the background.
Like,
it's subtle.
Dominate it.
It definitely didn't dominate it. Between, of course, Kevin Costner's character, Sonny Weaver Jr., the general manager of the Browns in the movie, and Allie is the name. You don't get a last name. Allie is the name of Jennifer Garner's character, and she's the kind of the capologist, Jimmy.
Oh, okay. All right. You know, isn't it amazing, though, how Kevin Costner has had so many sports movies?
Yeah.
I mean, he really has he's got the prototype for it. I mean, you know, he's had them all. I mean, he's had Bull Durham. He's had For the Love of the Game. He's had other ones, and now he's had Draft Day, too. You know, he's really.
Tin Cup,
I forgot about it. Yeah, I mean, really has gravitated towards that kind of a role.
You know, I loved his baseball movies, and especially For the Love of the Game was probably one of my favorites.
It was, you know what, Vic, a very underrated movie.
I think so. And I loved, and I told him, and I'm sure he was thrilled to hear this from me, when he was in Berea for the filming of the movie, and he was watching practice, and we actually had about I don't know, 20 minutes or so on the sideline, maybe longer, where he was watching and just getting into it and a lot of small talk. But I was asking him specific questions about that movie because of what was going on, the sequence where he's thinking about having the internal conversation, pitcher, which he is in the movie, versus batter, right? And that whole strategy and how it's broken down. And I asked him about where he got that material, how much of it was just his own knowledge of pitching and how much of it was something that he researched. He said he researched it with some college baseball coaches. I guess he pulled that together. And I got the drift because this was the first football movie he was in. I got the drift because I always thought, well, he's just a baseball guy. Field of Dreams, baseball just runs through his veins the way he portrayed those parts. He's truly, though, a fan of all sports and a pretty big NFL fan.
Yeah. He was, you know, and for love of the game, you know who really helped the movie a great deal? Vin Scully.
Yes, definitely.
Because Vin Scully called the entire game, and, I mean, he was Vin Scully. I mean, that was the key thing. Now, yeah, we had an interview with Costner, a rather long interview on Channel 3 about it, and he was talking about how touched he was by a couple of things. Number one, about he really got the feeling when he was around town about the love that people had for the Browns. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, I mean, that registered with him. And so, you know, it made the part even more appealing to him. But the second thing was, on a Sunday afternoon, I think, while he was here for a long period of time, he went over to Progressive Field. Right. And all of a sudden, people saw him there. And he got like a six-minute standing ovation. And he said it was one of the most touching things that he had ever gone through.
Yeah, people.
Incidentally, Megan is just melting as I say this about Kevin Costner.
Well, all right, I mean, Megan, tell us about
you. She's going, oh.
Tell us about your brush with Kevin during the filming.
Well, I have to say, he did give me a kiss on the forehead.
Wow.
There you
go.
Yeah,
we saw him. We were walking to lunch, and they were filming outside, and he came up, and he started talking. He talked to us. I mean, we didn't, like, approach him. And
the only other person I hear that does that is a pope. Really, a pope through the crowds of Vatican City.
Exactly.
Yeah, was that what it was like?
Exactly what it was like.
Papal-like experience.
Papal experience.
No, he was so nice, and he was so just interested about what was going on in, like, the business aspect of the Browns.
Yeah.
And he wasn't just there for filming.
I think you're right.
About,
he did. He cared about it. He really loved Cleveland. He had a great experience here, Vic.
No question. And I'll extend it to this point. He... during this, this was what, 2 weeks ago, whatever, in Hollywood, where we had the chance to sit down. I think these were 5-minute sessions with actors in the movie, with Ivan Reitman, the producer director. But in the course of that sit down with him, and of course, I was just getting a little uncomfortable about this part. The clock's ticking when you get in there. You get these 5 minutes to get your stuff, your interview done. He was taking up the time to ask questions. Well, he was asking questions. I don't want to give him a conscious sense of taking up time, and I think I got an extra minute or two added to my time because of this, asking questions about the Browns. He genuinely gave a true sense that, you know, the Browns, it mattered to him that, you know, what happened, and asking about Rob Chudzinski and asking about all the changes in the front office. He definitely took a close interest in the team.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, well, you know, I mean, he spent a lot of time here. And he talked about, and so did Dennis Leary in another interview that we had with him, about how they were here. They were in the facility, and they, you know, they were in the cafeteria. They were around the players. They got to know some of the coaches. So, you know, very rarely does it happen like that. So I think that really got them even closer to the whole project, and they bought into the whole Browns experience, and it made the movie that much more appealing to them, I think.
Oh, without a doubt. And, of course, there's a lot else going on as far as Brown's discussion. You had the movie last night, the movie premiere last night, but a lot more. And several players were there. And a theme that came up, not surprisingly, Jimmy Haslam, the owner of the Browns, also part of the premiere, a theme that came up in the course of this was the discussion about Alex Mack and his future with the team. Alex Mack has that transition tag. He's a free agent, of course, shopping around, has had a visit reportedly to Jacksonville. But this is what owner Jimmy Haslam had to say about the Browns' desire to retain Alex Mack.
You know, we remain optimistic that Alex Mack will be a Cleveland Brown for a long time. We want him to be. I think we've made it very clear that he's the kind of person, the kind of player we want in our organization.
So, what do you take from that, Jim, that the owner of the team says that? I mean, there's great sincerity behind that, but whatever it takes or that sense of doing that, is that possible, depending on the kind of numbers that he may get in the offer from the Jags or from some other team?
Well, they're, you know, I've been thinking about it, Vic, you know, since we were together a couple of days ago. And if I was Alex Mack right now, and if I was Marvin Demoff and advising him, I would do this. I would take the offer here in Cleveland, the $10.03 million that he's been offered on the transition tag, come back here, and then work on a new deal after this. I would be concerned that the deal, if I took a deal or took an offer from the Jacksonville Jaguars, that I would be afraid of two things. I mean, if he feels a certain way. Number one, that I got to play with the Jacksonville Jaguars. That would be my primary fear. And number two is that if the Browns matched it, it might not be really the offer that he wanted to get from the Browns overall. So I would, the safest thing for me would be, I would take this transition tag, sign it, play here next year, make over $10 million, and then work on it again the following year, probably hoping that there'd be some kind of wink-wink deal that you would not get franchise tagged.
I go along with that.
Yeah, I think that might be a good strategy for him.
It makes an interesting strategy. And I think at the very worst, if he ends up taking the one-year deal from the Browns, this 10-point-plus million, makes him by far the highest-paid center that the NFL has ever seen. For 1 year, he gets to do that, gets to see what the program's all about, gets to see what Mike Pettine and this coaching staff are trying to do, figures out Ray Farmer, the front office, if everything is settled down once and for all, because it's only been turbulence since this guy has been here, since Alex Mack joined the Cleveland Browns. It's been one turbulent event after another.
And you know, Vic,
I get that you grow weary of that.
Yeah, and remember this too, the very drafting of Alex Mack was a turbulent thing. Remember that draft?
Right.
That was the Mark Sanchez, the Jets getting the number 5 pick. The Browns had that number 5 pick under Eric Mangini, and they traded out of it like multiple times that first round, and then went down and finally selected Alex Mack. And people were going, wow, a center? You know, so even the picking of Alex Mack was turbulent. And you're right. Then every step of the way, coaching, general manager, organization, losing, it's all been a rough patch of water for him. You're right about that.
So we want to ask you, are you okay with Alex Mack testing the market, waiting to sign? Is what he's doing right now, you know, a turnoff? Is it turning you off as a fan of his and wondering if he wants to be part of this? 216-578-0850 is the number to weigh in on that. And you can also tweet us at Browns_daily. We also want to ask you, have you answered this question, about Draft Day, the movie that is going to debut in a matter of a few days now. April 11th is the official time when it'll be in movie theaters all over the country. We had the premiere of it last night in Cleveland, but Draft Day, are you excited to see the movie? Are you looking forward to this? Are you curious? Because I can tell you this much, Cleveland is a big actor in the movie. Cleveland has a big part. Yeah. You're going to see so many familiar scenes, and I think as a fan, I mean, you shot inside of bars and restaurants, that sort of thing. You know, you're bound to see things that will be familiar to you and feel like you're a part of it as a Browns fan, not to mention all the other football elements that are a part of it and the Browns history and everything that's a part of it. Terry Pluto is going to join us at 1:30. From the Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com columnist. We're going to have sound from Tashawn Gibson, the Brown safety. Nathan Zagura sat down with him, and we're going to have he had a really good one-to-one discussion with Gibson. And, Jimmy, you and I are going to listen to that and give our thoughts.
You know, he's a wonderful kid.
He's a great kid.
Great story, don't you think, Vic?
I mean, I think he's tremendous.
He ended up going – he's from a big family. I think, as I remember him telling me, he wanted to play with his brother as much as he could, and he ended up going to Wyoming, right?
Yes, he ended up at Wyoming.
And fought his way into the NFL. He's one of those stories that, you know, you hope it might happen in this draft in less than a month now, that, you know, you're going to end up with – you have to end up with players like that, that you can find, you know, through the rounds, get help in the rounds that you have picks in. But then there are those players, those gems, and take a look at Seattle and what they did. You get them late, and you get them after the draft too, and they come in and they play for you. And Gibson is a prime example of that.
He really is. And to see how well he thrived – next to T.J. Ward. I mean, breaking in as a starter, as a free safety last year, Gibson is a full-time starter. And, of course, he had gotten some promising looks the year before, 2012. But what he did last year, and to take away a big concern, that was something the coaching staff, I know, was fretting about in training camp. How are we going to fill that free safety hole? Can DeSean Gibson hold up? And he did more than hold up. Played extremely well. Now he is paired up with a new strong safety in Dante Whitner. What's that going to mean as well? And I know Nathan gets into that in that conversation at 2 p.m. So that's at 1:45. At 2 p.m., the Fresno State football coach, Tim DeRuyter, is going to check in with us. We're going to talk about Derek Carr, his former quarterback there. So we'll have a nice conversation with him. And then at 2:30, we're going to bring aboard the newest member of our Cleveland Browns content and production staff, a staff writer and reporter for us named Kevin Jones. You heard from him on his first day on the job last week. Well, Kevin has posted a mock draft to be to join the mocks of Nathan Zagura and yours truly. And now we're going to get his perspective on the mock draft and see what he has to say about that. That is going to be coming up as well. Again, we want to hear from you, 216-578-0850. And again, tweet us at Browns_daily. Tell us about your feelings on this Alex Mack situation. I want you to weigh in on that. Yeah. The Alex Mack story and the, you know, the fact that he's just testing the market. Are you okay with that? And do you think he's doing the right thing now, or is it, you know, turning you off to him? And draft day, are you excited to see this movie that's coming up? All of that ahead. He is Jim Donovan, sitting in for Nathan Zagura. I'm Vic Carucci. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, and we're driven by Liberty Ford.